welcome to W Rated, the show where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on this year's Road to Razzies, our annual season of episodes looking at the nominations for the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards 2024. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about this episode?
Today we're talking about The Exorcist Believer, which is nominated for Worst Picture, Worst Director for David Gordon Green, Worst Screen Combo for any two money-grabbing investors who donated to the $400 million for remake rights to The Exorcist, Worst Remake, Ripoff or Sequel, and Worst Screenplay, written by Peter Sattler and David Gordon Green, with the story by Scott Teams, Danny McBride and David Gordon Green.
Mm-hmm. Usually I laugh at those Razzie, like, fake nominations, but I think it's actually such a pertinent point for the discussion for this film. Had you seen... You don't like The Exorcist, do you?
No, so I've seen the original Exorcist a number of times. I watched it for the first time when I was 13. I have since at least seen it once, but I believe twice in the cinema, and I've definitely seen it a minimum of three, if not four times. Wow. I've seen the... different cuts. Like, I've seen the one with the electrotherapy bits that isn't in all of it. I've seen the kind of basic standard VHS one that was what my dad had that I watched when I was 13. I've tried. I think it's
a good try, I would say.
I think it's really boring. I get so bored. There's bits of goodness, but it just doesn't get me in any way atmospherically. I remember, like, we went to see it for Halloween at the cinema, like Halloween night, a group of us when I was in my 20s, and I was like, okay, like, I need to give this reevaluation, and I was bored.
I mean, I felt the same when I saw The Shining for the first time in the cinema. I'd read the book, really loved the book, and I watched it and I was like, what is this bullshit? And then since came to learn that Stephen King does not like that adaption, and actually I then rewatched it without that expectation and now really appreciate it. But I don't think I can even argue with you about, you know, have you tried this? You've tried everything. You've tried all the different cuts. You've tried it in a cinema. You've tried it with a group. Like, I think that is fair. It's not one for you.
It's not. I think what really didn't help, though, is, like, my parents, like, my dad loved it. My dad loved horror films, and my mum's a big wimp, and so my mum thought it was fucking terrifying. And then everyone talks about it being one of the greatest, horror films of all time, and I just don't find it scary in the slightest. I don't think there's anything scary about it. And as a 13-year-old, I was, like, mega getting into horror movies and, like, loved, like, slasher films and vampire films and, like, ghost films. And I was like, And so, I don't think my brain can't compute it as a horror. I'm like, it's not really actually that horror-y.
See, I don't really see it as... And I totally get you with the expectation. Like, I remember when I was younger, I'd, like, read what was on TV and, like, the TV mags, and I'd read, like, the blurb for Nightmare on Elm Street, and I'd read the blurb for The Exorcist, and I used to freak myself out. I mean, like, really young. And then as I got older, I started getting into horror films when I was sort of in my teens, but that's not one that I ever tried until I would say maybe late teens, early 20s, and I watched it, and I was bored as well. I didn't get it. I think, made those comparisons too about everyone saying it's the scariest one we made. And I was like, but nothing happens. But what was different for me is that I had the same thing with The Shining, where I was able to kind of then say, and I'm not saying you're not able, but for me, I then rewatched it without that. And I found, and I kind of saw something else to take out of it. For me, it's not the scariest film of all time kind of thing. For me, it's that it's like a drama with horror elements. It's like what everyone says about elevated horror these days, and it's just like horror never needed to be elevated. You've got amazing, like, in my opinion, amazing films like this where it's just an amazingly executed film with horror elements, and that's what I quite like. I quite like it being, for me, it's this really, like, careful, slow build up. I love spending time with the family. I love how, it spends a lot of time talking about, like, the faith aspects, and even how the priest is, like, no, exorcisms like aren't a thing, by the way.
I grew up really Roman Catholic, so maybe that was my issue. I was like, this is just like going back to church.
Yeah, it's like your brain immediately goes, oh, time to sleep.
Yeah,
it's interesting because like I was watching, I mean, I know that not everybody likes them, but I like them from what I've watched, Red Letter Media, and they did a review of Exorcist Believer, and they was talking about how, you know, in the film what they said is true. Like, people before the Exorcist, they didn't know what exorcism was. It wasn't like a big thing. So the whole exorcism in films is kind of born from this original film in the 70s, you know. So I found that really interesting. I just really liked how it was crafted. But I do get it's not for everyone, because if you want something out of it, or the way that it is made and it's told doesn't work for you, then it doesn't work, right? But what I'm going to find really interesting is, I don't know if you liked this soft reboot, whatever they're called. Oh, there was one that there was a new name that they actually mentioned on that review that was good. Because obviously you've got like Lego sequels.
Yeah. Requels is like a remake sequel. Yeah.
Requel, that's what it was. Yeah. I think this is solidly in that category, isn't it?
Yeah, which I hadn't kind of realised. I thought it was a straight up sequel, but then I was a bit confused in that, like, I've only seen the first one and there's like four other sequels.
I have not seen the others.
Assumed like Halloween, which was also David Gordon Green, this would only be sticking to the first one, not the other sequels, and that's what I went in. I kind of went in assuming I didn't need any knowledge of any other film.
I don't think that you do, no. Yeah. When I looked it up, it is classed as a sequel to the first Exorcist, not like a running thing with the others. I know that Regan is in the second one, I think.
The Heretic, which we almost had to cover, but we got away without covering because coming off.
It might come back.
Bopping between 98, 99, 100 and off the list for the last 3 years. Just pops on and off. But I think I think it's going to be reevaluated in the view of this, in that I think people rewatch loads of them, and I think it won't come back on because I think people having watched this,
this is taking its place.
Yeah, people be like, this is a bad Exorcist sequel. That wasn't, I think, might be what happens.
That's a good point because, you know, quite a lot of people on Twitter or in the sort of film community that we're close to really like three
to be good. And like, it's funny because I think Halloween might come off a little bit because obviously David Gordon Green also did the requels to the Halloween franchise. Halloween probably up there with Scream with my favourite horror movie and one of my favourite movies. I love that film. And I love Halloween 2. But then all of the sequels kind of have been reevaluated, and people keep going on about how Halloween 3 is amazing. Halloween 3.
Liked 3. It has nothing to do with it, though.
That's fine for you, but up until about 5 years ago, it was a decided fact in the cinematic world. Halloween 3 was not good and was a waste of time. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, actually.
Is why you should never be influenced, and this is me saying this, be influenced by other people's opinions, but I mean it in a sense of thinking something's bad. I'm only influenced to see the good side of things. I don't think anyone can really convince me too much that something I like is terrible, because I'll be like, well, I like it, so it's obviously not.
I'm still one short of every Halloween film. I still have not seen Halloween, is it Resurrection? The one with Tyra Banks in.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen them all because I think we were sending each other that little flow chart thing? Yeah, so I'd watched all the ones that were kind of... No, because actually you didn't need all the other... I think I've watched some, just not the ones that really veer off.
Yeah, so you know, I've now officially watched all of them apart from the one with Tyra Banks and the Halloween 2 of the remix series.
Maybe I have seen, I'll have to look it up. But yeah, you know, interestingly talking about David Gordon Green.
Yeah.
He sort of came in and soft rebooted, but also did like a continuation for Jamie Lee Curtis's main character. I didn't see it when it came out in cinema. It kind of passed me by. I wasn't a huge Halloween fan at the time, but since then I've rewatched and watched some of the sequels, and they've been quite fun. First one, I think people really liked. They liked it. You know, it seemed to have some real thoughtfulness around what would happen to Laurie after all these years, and it just seemed like a very considered and with love for the project, but also original film while also being its own thing. What are the next ones called? What one did I really not like? I think it was the one after that.
Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. Halloween Kills is the one everyone but me hates. I like Halloween Kills. Evil does die tonight, guys. Evil dies tonight.
Do you know what was so funny? When I was watching Exorcist Believer, Stephen came in and saw what I was watching, and I explained to him, I think, that it was the new Exorcist, but he didn't know it was David Gordon Green. And he said it as he left. I went, no, you don't understand. That is exactly it. And we actually really, well, he really likes David Gordon Green because he is really, he showed me Righteous Gemstones. I think I've recommended that to you before. Really good. And then that's also Danny McBride. I don't know if he wrote that or he's just in it, but then they, pretty sure they made together Vice Principals, which is also very good. Another HBO show. And then before that was Eastbound and Down, which I haven't watched yet.
People love that though.
David Gordon Green and Danny McBride working together seems like a really good partnership. And then when people found out that Danny McBride was kind of like involved in the Halloween stuff as well, I was like, okay. And then there was obviously with the sequels, I don't know how Halloween Ends went down.
Depends on your school of thought. I only would take opinions from people that also enjoyed Halloween Kills, because I was like, if you didn't like Halloween Kills, I don't really care what you thought about Halloween Ends. I enjoyed Halloween Kills, so they're the people I want to hear from. The problem with Halloween Ends is it's actually not really a Michael Myers film. It sort of does what Halloween 3 does, and it just becomes a different film. Not in the same way. Michael is still there, and it is still a continuation of Laurie and Michael, but actually kind of not really at the same time. It's hard to explain it without spoiling it, but to people did not like that. If you didn't like the new
character... No, because you'd want it to be like this build-up to this big finale between them, considering it's been like, 50 years or something.
So that
ridiculous.
Does happen, and that's actually, in my opinion, was one of the more boring parts of the film. But yeah, depending on your... I really liked the new character, so I was in. If you didn't like the new character... It's
a gamble, isn't it?
It was a gamble, like, but then Kills got such bad reviews that I think they were probably just like, well, fuck it, let's do what we want.
To be fair, like, I'd rather them, considering what we're about to discuss with Exorcist Believer, I'd much rather them shoot for the stars and it kind of doesn't work for everyone, but it's something like slightly original, it's their own take, versus just trying to remake something that
to get back to Exorcist, though I could talk about Halloween films all day, and now I really want to rewatch them all. I have no interest in Exorcist. I have no interest in the first Exorcist, the book, the sequels. Watching this film, I did have to wonder if, because there was like vitriolic, I don't know how you say that word, I've only ever seen it written down, vitriol or whatever, but like hatred for this film, like horrific.
Yeah.
Aggressive.
And I was like, how on earth could people hate something so much?
Yeah.
Now I know.
Well,
now
see,
I know why.
I don't know. I don't get it. And I wondered how much of it is a hangover from the Halloween stuff. How much of it was people were still fucking angry about Halloween.
Right.
And was like, that fucker like ruined Halloween and now he's ruining The Exorcist.
I can see where you're coming from. Because I didn't know about that too much, because I didn't know how people felt about Halloween Ends. I can see and I hear, like, I've reread reviews and stuff after I formed my complete own opinion about it. It was when I was watching it, bearing in mind I'd rewatched The Exorcist that week as well. And I was just like, oh, this could never be that bad. It's going to be something like that. People are just up in arms about the fact that they love The Exorcist, and it's like it can't match up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just like inferior sequel, like that they shouldn't touch something so sacred and all of this. No. It's just the most cynical... like, it's just the most, like, I wouldn't even say money making, because I know they spent, I know that
$300 million apparently,
like, they spent a lot of money to get the rights.
Yeah.
So they clearly wanted to do, like, I get it. When people use IP, you always got to say, well, that's because you want to sell a story that you know people will come in and see.
David Gordon Green is a horror fan and just wants to watch all his favourite films from when he was a teenager.
And I respect that. The problem is that, and because you know he can do it, because with Halloween it worked. This, and I think that's why the requel thing, this was just... this wasn't for people to watch. This was those, you know, you said you did the thing with like Watsits or something.
Oh yeah, recreation.
You recreated stuff for your like joy, but also for a small group of people or like whatever. Yeah. This is a pet project. This isn't art. Because he's tried to pretty much redo the first film, but just say, oh, there's two possessed girls rather than one. And rather than talk about Catholicism, we're going to bring in another religion. But they don't do anything with it.
See,
there's so many ideas being thrown at the wall and nothing happens with them. Nothing.
See, because I completely agree with everything you've just said there, I just didn't care. So, like, I did not think this was a good movie. I didn't enjoy watching it. I think I've given it 2 or 2.5 on Letterboxd. But then I don't like exorcism as a concept, as a storytelling avenue. I don't like the original Exorcist. I don't even know if I've ever seen any other exorcism films, because no.
Because the reason I was so quick to say that is because I'd actually been watching the Conjuring films that week as well, so I had like a big exorcism week.
I've seen Insidious, but I don't think I've seen the Conjuring.
I think they're the same film
in my brain. Are they the same film?
Yeah,
they're not.
No, that's Insidious is a bit different.
Is Patrick Wilson in both of them though? Is that why I'm confused? That's why I'm confused.
Yeah.
No, I'm
and
not.
They're both James Wan.
Yeah, so I've not seen any of the Conjuring, because like when I see a trailer for a film that is just about an exorcism, my brain just goes, oof.
Fair enough.
So yeah, like, I did not think this film was well made in the slightest, and I thought it was messy, and I thought it was confusing, and at times I thought the writing was laughable.
But this is the thing for me.
It just didn't anchor me. I was just like, all right.
And I think that's why it's important to think about. We were talking before about the different nominations. How can that be nominated for sequel versus worst, etc.? I think that's a really good point, in that I probably wouldn't have cared as much if this didn't have the Exorcist name in front of it. Because the other thing was, and I think it's fair to say everyone knows if they're listening in that this is going to be spoiler heavy. Bringing Chris into it, the mum, and Regan right at the end, it was just like so, my eyes just rolled like this. Like, you can't see what I'm doing, just like round and round and round and round and round, because it's like, just like, it's just so, it was, yeah, it was just so unearned that it made me feel like uncomfortable. Like, it was just, it's like watching rich people play around with like their toys, except their toys are like, oh, I can just bring this character in and do what I'm, get her eyes poked out now. Like,
she was stabbing her eyes. I was like, oh, I just didn't see it coming. I was like, oh.
It was one of very few things to actually happen in the film.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's such a shame, and I don't want to be the kind of person that's like, you know how the Star Wars people are, like, oh, you've sacrilege touching these characters.
I've never understood those people before. But like, a couple of weeks ago, I did have the misfortune of watching the Mean Girls musical, the movie, and I suddenly understood how the Star Wars men felt. I suddenly understood. Yeah. I was like, they had ruined my baby.
And I get it. And like, I do get it. And I'm not saying that people who are like, I think that it's hard, because I don't quite know how to compare it to something like when the way people were like, hitting back about, oh, Luke Skywalker wouldn't do that, and it's just like, how do you know? You don't know him.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's not what the characters would or wouldn't do in this, which I think is a bit of a who do you think you are opinion. It's the treatment of the characters that
just very flat, to be honest, as well.
It was like, oh, how exciting, we've bought these rights, we can bring Ellen Burstyn back and we can do all this, and it's just like, for what?
She's just sat in a room talking, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just like such
a... Do you think she got a nice paycheck, though?
It was just oh, well, this is it. This is it. And like someone said that the beach house stuff was like screaming of reboots. And it was just like, how convenient that she comes in, gets her eyes poked out, and then she's out for the rest of the film. Yeah. Like, it's just, and like with the whole thing of, I don't know, I think, to be honest, my main problem is the screenplay with this.
Yeah.
And I think everything around that suffers because of it. I just think that it's like, for me, it's just like conceptual. It's like, wouldn't it be cool if, okay, so we want to do an Exorcist sequel, we're getting the rights. Wouldn't it be cool if this happened, then this happened, and this happened, this happened, and then that's just what they filmed. It didn't feel like there was any kind of purpose or reason or motive behind the writing. And it was just like you said, it was flat. Like, I hate to be so rude and like pointed, but it was really uninspired. It didn't bring anything. And it's just so disappointing because we've just said, we know that they can do it with Halloween. That felt like, where would this character be in at this time? And I don't mind Chris and Regan being in it.
The thing I think that worked for the Halloween remake, Halloween 2018, was the violence, because the first time I saw that in a double bill with the original Halloween. And the thing that's interesting about the original Halloween is it's actually incredibly slow, and there's not that many deaths, and there's not that much violence, and there's
See, I kind of feel a little bit like what you felt like with The Exorcist of Halloween. I do find it a little bit too slow for me, but I still enjoy it and I still appreciate
it. It is very slow, and then there was like a 20 minute interval, and then they showed us Halloween 2018, and that is balls to the wall. He's fucking killing everyone, and it is violent, and you're seeing it all. So I think the reason that people liked that was that it paid correct homage to Laurie, Jamie Lee Curtis. It brought in interesting new characters. The writing of these characters was interesting. There was an interesting family dynamic and trauma.
Trauma.
But also the kills were interesting. The pacing was tight, and it was violent. And so it felt like it had put the original one up and just glossed it. Just being like, right, what can we...
It brought it into the new modern sort of world, like late 2020. Yeah, exactly.
Whereas this
it was like, what would Halloween be if it was released now?
Whereas this just felt like... It just felt like it could have been any Exorcism film. There have been so many fucking Exorcism films. This, I didn't think it had any relation to the original. It didn't have the tension of the original. There were too many characters. I didn't know who we were focusing on.
There was no essence of the original left.
No.
And I think if you're going to do a sequel, and I watched a really good video essay a few months ago about so many different things, but why cinema doesn't feel... as engaging anymore. And a lot of it was like, when you get a good sequel, it's because it takes, if you distill down the very essence of the original film, it's taking that essence and doing something else with it versus redoing the same thing, just changing a few things. And I think we can all really resonate with that. With whether a film, even if you enjoy it, you can say, well, it's not, I enjoy it, but it's not a good film, or I don't like it. And it's usually because they're just rehashing the same thing. This pretty much tries to do that. And it goes, well, why don't we have two... And this is a really good point to discuss as well, in that the two girls, obviously, one is a white Christian family, and the other one is a black family, but they don't really have... There's hints at spirituality there at the beginning. They're in Haiti, and I don't know what the name of the spirituality is. And that's the thing, they don't even really say it, and it kind of makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. They kind of make it seem very mystical, and they don't really bring it into a grounded way. And that's fine if that's what you want to do. But, it, you know, considering this was made, produced, and written by eight white men, it was like, would have been nice to kind of have, if you're going to have that perspective in there, let it be told by people who
That was sort of my issue as well, when I said there were too many characters, and that the whole start of the film frames it as what is his name from Hamilton? I've forgotten.
Leslie Odom Jr.
Yeah, so it frames it as Leslie
Odom. His name's Victor in this.
Yeah, it frames it as Leslie Odom Jr. and his daughter's story, and then for like the whole second act, they're barely in it. And it's about, I know, I will say, the little white girl, she did some great exorcism work. She looked terrifying. She looked gross.
And she also really looked like Reagan as well. So like, I think I can get
why the editor wanted to use so much of her stuff, because she was killing it in her performance. But then I sort of almost forgot about the other girl, Leslie and Judia, for a bit, until the exorcism, and I was like, oh yeah, they're still here.
Yeah, it's very scattered. It doesn't know where to focus. It's not I don't think it knows what's its red thread, what's its meaning, what's its point. Because in the first film, they were obviously talking about how they go through all of the medical procedures to try. And I always find that, like, I know it can be boring for some, but I always find that really interesting because to me, it feels really grounded in, if that was happening to you, how would you actually react in real life? This is what you do, right? And it's only when, you know, Chris gets pretty much beaten up and the whole crucifix thing happens that she desperately goes to a priest, and even the priest is like, we don't really do, I'm a psychiatrist. Like, we are very much grounded in reality here. And I like that, but they just make it, they don't really touch on it. They try to do something new with this combining of religions and spirituality, but it doesn't, what's it trying to say? There's stuff that's said by Anne Dowd towards the end, who turns out to be a nurse that was going to be a nun, and it's all related. And the exorcism's like all these different kind of spiritual figures and stuff. It's just too much. What's the point? What am I trying to trying to tell me here? What am I trying to focus on? And it just ends up being like, well, actually, it's not really about religion. It's about community. So what do you mean? We might as well be a Fast and Furious thing. It's about family. I didn't hate it at first. I thought it was really interesting about them going missing, what happened to them. It really kind of reminded me of, again, of the essence of going through all of those medical tests and being like, how would you react what would happen if your daughters went missing and there's no sign of any kind of foul play or issues or illnesses or whatever. And
but they're not the same. Yeah.
But they're not the same. I would have loved if they'd really carried on with that.
Because there was some sinister stuff like a repeat there. Like, there was a point in which when Leslie Odom Jr. brings her home and she's there with the light in the bathroom, I did get a little bit like, is this suddenly going to get a bit violent? And I did for like 2 minutes I was like, I'm ready to be scared. And then it didn't really go anywhere.
Especially because we know that the first film wasn't afraid to get very explicit with like the sexual kind of deviance and things like that. I was like, are they going to go for that? Because actually, do you know what? In the 70s, people were like so shocked by that, and that's fair. And even though you could say we've progressed in like 50 years, I think that would, if they'd done that would have been even braver instead of done something like that.
I think it's tougher now because this felt very tame in that aspect. I didn't even think about that. Like the violence and the shock. It's not even the violence, just the shock. Very, very tame in this. I think you've got a hard sell there, though, in that obviously because back in the 70s, we didn't have media like we do now, and we barely had like VHSs and things like that. No one knew that film would be seen as much as it was. And like, obviously that, Linda Carter, it's not Linda Carter, it's Linda...
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair, like, she had to go through a lot with that film and the legacy of that film over the years. No child star, no parent of a child star is ever letting their kid do something like that now with the way that we have, like, social media and stuff like that. Like, it's just not going to ever be able to happen again, at least in mainstream Hollywood, because no one would trust it.
Yeah. But it's interesting because we've got more opportunity now because of the like CGI and things like that. We can protect kids a bit more from what they're doing. And when I was rewatching the first film, I was like, how have they done this so that she's not kind of knowing what the end result is going to be and look like and everything? That was a massive disappointment for me because that's part of the appeal of the original, is that it is shocking. And it's not like throughout the whole film, it's just these moments.
May I say the one bit that I did really enjoy in this? I liked when the priest's head turned around. I was like, I really enjoyed that bit. I knew that pissed everyone off. I literally texted my friend while I was watching it and I was like, there was one really good bit that I really enjoyed, and I sort of feel like that's the bit that everyone else probably hated, but I was like, I just really liked it.
Yeah. It was just like, so we can't have an exorcist film without someone's head turned.
But that's right, I was like, right? I could feel like echoes of eye rolls across the world, whereas I was like,
And you enjoyed that because of that. Yeah, no, that's fair. That was a huge bit. Again, as I'm saying, like, all of the essence of what makes the original iconic and good and what people like about it,
it
just either didn't happen or it was just a really, really lame version here. I would have loved to have seen that story of what happens when there is nothing physically wrong with your child, but clearly there's something is. And even if they'd have gone through a similar story to, you know, well, the point of it what I think they're trying to make the point of is, in terms of character anyway, is that dad, Leslie Odom Jr.'s character, he isn't spiritual, but his daughter's mother was and she had the baby blessed before she died. And also the big reveal at the end is that he didn't want to save the child, he wanted to save the wife. And that's really, I feel like they could have done so much more with that in sort of like a bit of a gut punch to make you feel uncomfortable.
That was the point in which I decided it deserved the worst screenplay nomination, in that that was a big sequence where that is revealed that, you know, when he was asked, save the mum or save the baby, you can't save both. He tries to save the mum and the mum still dies and the baby lives. And now he's spent the last 15 years forming what seems like a good relationship with his daughter. And it's like a shock and everyone's like, it's okay. And he's like, no one should have known that. And I was like, okay, that is interesting. Should have done more of it, like you say. And then what? 5-10 minutes later, they're like, oh, and straight after that, now you have to make a deal. They're like, you got tricked. The one you wanted to save wasn't the one you actually saved, but now you have to choose which girl you want to save. And I was like, right, so if you say you want to save your daughter, it will save the other girl. And like, you can see that him and the other girl's mum both say, they're like, we can't choose, we're not going to choose, we don't trust it, we don't make this choice. Then the fucking dipshit dad, like 5 minutes later, is like, I saved my baby. And it's like, did you not just hear that if you try and save your child, you're going... What? And then it's a big shock that she dies. And I'm like, did we watch this?
What they could have done is they could have had... Because obviously they were having like separate conversations with like the girls at some point. There was so much going on, right? What they could have done is that they could have had it... I mean, it's bloody like mystical, right? Mm-hmm. They can make anything happen. So they could have had it so it's like... only he could hear what she was saying. And then he goes and runs off to like gather himself, and then they answer that so that the other couple don't actually know what's going on. And then that's why they're like mistakenly going, yeah, we save her, we save her. And then he comes in and he's like, what's going on?
What
and
did you
like,
do?
And then he's like, no, don't do it. What did you do? Kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah, there's just like these elements of ideas, and they just seem so like...
But I felt like the movie wanted really me to be shocked that she died. And I was like, but you just told me this was going to happen. You literally just told me this was going to happen. Why am I now shocked?
To be fair, I think I was so annoyed by this point that I didn't even think about that. But either way, I wasn't thinking about it. It didn't shock me either. Because I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that Victor's daughter, they were meant to be the main family anyway. Like people were writing home quite shocked that they let a child die and all this. And I'm like... it's the Exorcist film. That's the least that should happen if you're not going to do anything else. It's not actually really brave because you've not shown anything.
No, she died of cardiac arrest. Like,
yeah,
wasn't violent. Like,
yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure if there's much else. I think we've touched on most things that annoyed me.
Run through the noms again then. So,
it's
been nominated for Worst Picture. I don't care whether or not it was nominated for Worst Picture. I don't really agree, but I don't disagree either. I don't really care.
I'm trying to view it. I'm trying to see if I still feel the same way if it wasn't a sequel. But I have to say, I think if I'm viewing everything that I saw last year, it definitely would have been down the bottom. So
that's what I'm just... I'm like, where's my list? Where's my 2023 list? Would it have been near the bottom?
Because I think it's hard to separate some of this stuff.
It would have definitely been in my bottom 10, to be fair, I think. So, yeah. I don't know if it would have made my bottom 5, but it would have made the bottom 10.
I think I'm similar to you in that if it hadn't been an Exorcist sequel, I probably would have just found it a bit disappointing in there. Because as an exorcism film, because there were some interesting ideas in there that they didn't follow through, and then it became a bit messy and convoluted, and the scripting was a bit lazy. But I don't think I would have been as annoyed by like the Exorcist stuff. So, but I think if we consider nominations overall for Worst Picture, I think it still would have made it in.
Yeah, it definitely would have made my top 10. I don't know top 5, but yeah, so I think that can be allowed. Worst Director for David Gordon Green has to be a yes. It's very badly directed. It's very messy. It's badly so framed.
Badly
it's muddy. Muddy. Yeah.
I have to say, though, I did realise when I was like, I can't see anything, that my TV was on energy saver mode, and I don't know how long it's been on energy saver mode.
No, I watched it on my laptop on full brightness.
Even when I put it up, I was like, it's just, like you say, it's muddy, it's there's just no, when you think about the first film, it's dark, things happen at night,
but then they use colour to their advantage, because suddenly when it's bright you're like, oh shit.
Like, people were too, and they're like the shadows, yeah. And when she's levitating and stuff, I was like, people are just too afraid to use non-natural lighting now.
Worst screen combo for any two money-grabbing investors who donated to the $400 million for the remake rights to The Exorcist.
Well, I think the fact that it got so lambasted is punishment enough for those people that are now kicking themselves that they spent all of that money.
Didn't it make quite a lot of money, though?
It must have done. It must have made enough money to not be a complete bomb in its first weekend.
I feel like it dropped off quite quickly. Let me have a look.
It would have done because of word of mouth, for sure.
So it had.
I wonder if they did.
It had a budget of around $30 million, but it made at the box office $137 million.
That's what I mean. I reckon they did quite low budget filming. So the rights were huge, but they probably didn't spend a lot on, and it makes sense, right? Nothing particularly spenny happens in the VFX department.
Yeah. So there were two sequels already in development when this was released. And even though it's made all that money, they have cancelled. It was meant to be Exorcist Deceiver, so Believer, Deceiver, and then I don't know what the third was, have cancelled the sequel, and David Gordon Green says he's not interested. So in fairness, I don't think he wants to be a bad filmmaker. I think he's a bit embarrassed about it, because I think he's taken the negative reviews to heart, even though it made the money. And I guess as well, as a company, you can make any horror films. Like, horror films always tend to, on low budgets, turn it around and make a load of money. So I guess they're like, why would we keep making Exorcist ones and getting shit reviews? We might as well just make some non-Exorcist ones.
And I do respect him for that, because like, we're not going to be perfect all the time, and some people would have liked it, and it's just a case of like, okay, this was a miss, but people like some of your other stuff. Like, I think, like, people love your TV shows. Like, I think he deserves to have a go at some of this stuff. It would just be a shame if he kept getting opportunities, if he kept not getting them, when there's so many other voices out there that could do something with much less money. They don't need IP. They can just make good films that the execs, and it's really the execs' fault. The execs aren't ready to risk spending money on, when it's just like, but hold on, you've just spent however much on the rights in it, but like, spare some a little. It's like the Robin Hood meme. It's like, shaking the can. They just want a few mil to make some other films that can help you underpin your tentpole stuff. And if it doesn't work, if you're willing to let these guys, you know, take a big swing and a miss, it's not fair to not let other people have a go as well.
So I think we say that's probably a little bit deserved, but yeah. It's been lambasted
but
enough.
But no hard feelings, David.
Yeah. And then one that I believe you will agree with, the worst remake, rip-off or sequel.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care, but I think it's probably well deserved. And then worst screenplay for Peter Sadler, yes. David Gordon Green, 100%. Story by Teams McBride and David Gordon Green. Yeah, completely agree. It was a shockingly bad screenplay. And that's where it began.
This is one that I'm pretty confident.
We'll win.
I feel like even if it doesn't win, that's my pick. Yeah. I'm just trying to see what the other ones are.
Expendables 4, Indiana Jones, Shazam, and Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, so from the ones that I haven't seen Expendables or Winnie the Pooh yet, but I mean, it might. I think Winnie the Pooh potentially will come in and take cake, but we'll see.
But then at the same time, I feel like we've got Winnie the Pooh's a completely different kind of film. They didn't have the money. I've not seen it yet. They didn't have the money.
This is what I'm saying.
These guys had money and experience, and they wrote this screenplay. So I feel like I've not seen Winnie the Pooh yet, but I'd probably think this is more deserved.
I was about to say that, you know, the whole reason Winnie the Pooh, we even know about it, is because of the whole rights thing that becoming into the public domain. That, from what I understand, although it was distributed by Altitude, would have been super low budget, probably people that haven't had the chance or the skill set or like the mainly the resource around them to make something of of the level of what the Exodus believer is slash should be. So it seems like a slightly unfair fight, but we'll see. We'll see when we get there. We might absolutely hate it.
Are you excited for this time next year to be watching the Steamboat Willie horror movie?
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah. She gazes off into the distance in horror.
The cat just angrily meowed. He was like, no!
Oh, no.
He just knows just about Steamboat Willie. He was like, I won't have it. Pumpkin, what are you saying?
Oh, I heard him.
He's talking to the birds.
Oh, talking, saying, I want to eat you. Okay, any more about Exorcists? I think we've pretty much covered everything.
I feel like that's that. We have exorcised our horrors.
I am no longer a believer. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we hope you can join us for another mini episode as we tackle another Razzie-nominated film on our road to Razzies 2024.